Welcome back to the Society to the Blind. Got an eager young brother that's dying to tell his story. I'm pretty sure it's going to be an awesome story for you listeners. I'm going to let my guest introduce himself.
Yeah, my name is Jamil Wilson. I'm from originally out of Greenville, South Carolina. I stay right now in Greenwood, South Carolina. It's just a blessing, man. You have no idea, Brother Larry. You have no idea. You know, it's a once in a, you know, most people don't get to tell their story to others to hear. And, you know, listening to you has been a blessing to me and my family. You know,
appreciate you.
This journey is an awesome journey. And it, like you said, the narrow path, difficult is the way. It ain't easy. It ain't simple, but it ain't supposed to be. You know, that's the beauty of it. You know,
surviving. So how did you get started in becoming awakened?
It was back in 2019, 2020. I feel my journey started in 2017. You know, I was a huge Christian. You couldn't tell me nothing. Jesus, you know, knew the scriptures, read the scriptures. You know, was out teaching the scriptures, doing all these things, and me and my wife, we had joined this church, and he was one of those prosperity teachers, you know. But it wasn't that way in the beginning. But one day we were sitting in there, and this is after, I come out of drug addiction and a lot of things, you know. But joined this church, man, and one day y'all just was, before I was calling him y'all, I was calling him God, you know, doing the normal. But one day he just told me to be quiet and listen, start listening. You know, he told me to start eating the scriptures. And the more I started eating the scriptures and listening to this pastor, I started finding chinks and holes in what he was teaching. You know, he might have taught some truth, but, you know, just like how Satan operates, you know, he tell half truth is still a lie. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so came home, talked to my wife about that. And she kept saying, I don't understand what you mean. I said, you know, we start chopping scriptures together, you know, because y'all wasn't in the middle of our marriage at first, but we started chopping scripture, and I started, you know, telling her, you remember, you know, what the service was about. And she was like, yeah. And I said, but this is what the scripture says though. And she said, oh, I see what you're saying. So after about two more weeks of me going there, I listened. I didn't talk, you know, pay tithes, you know, Malachi was read all the time, you know.
Right.
You pay the tithes. I said, okay, you know, I'm trying to do what I think what is right. And, you know, today I know it don't matter. He don't take money. This money don't mean nothing to y'all. It's about us sacrificing ourselves. But I called the preacher up and talked to him. He was a good guy. He did a little marriage therapist for me. You know, he did some marriage therapy work for me and my wife because, you know, we had a lot of things going on at that time. And I took him and sat him down one-on-one. I didn't want to be around other people. So I met him up there on a Saturday morning, and I started asking him questions. You know, I was like, you know, in Corinthians, it say this. But you're saying this. Show me in the scriptures what you're talking about. You know, he couldn't do it. And, you know, but this was what, at the time, this is what y'all was showing me. He said, you know, he just gave me the scriptures to ask this man. He had no rebuttal, no anything to say. He just kept talking about how, you know, theology school and this and that and the third. And I'm just like, you know, I'm looking at him like, well, I don't know, man. You know, I'm like, you're going against what this is saying. This is saying, you know, women can't be preachers.
Right.
Not saying that they're less than, but it just says they can't usurp this authority. But you're saying it's, you know, it works that way.
So, like, so was the woman you were, so this is a male pastor or a female pastor?
It's a male pastor.
Okay. Yeah, and he was pastor. Condoning females teaching and preaching.
Yeah. He come out from under a female preacher.
Oh, okay. Okay. You know, okay.
His mentor was a woman. So it made sense why he was so, you know, with these things. And at the time, and I went, you hit something on the head of some shows back when you said we have to go hit that every branch on the way down to find to truth and to find what y'all really has, man. And, you know, I went from him and I jumped on the Geno Jennings bag,
which was a interesting thing. You know, we even went to some of his places, me and my wife. We went to Charlotte. We went to, you know, when he was in Greenville, we went to Atlanta. We went to different places to follow him around. And I did jump in, we got baptized in, you know, in the name of Jesus Christ, which was, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, and to this day, I don't regret going through the process because, like I say, my backstory is drug abuse, womanizer,
Yeah, we'll get into that later. We'll get into that later. So, how did you feel, or how did you know, like this was the time for me to step out of Christianity after either searching for a community? Because usually, when you wake up, the first thing you want to search for is a community, other people who are like-minded like you. Did you go through wanting to be a part of the community first, or did you go to, okay, now I got to step back from Christianity? Oh, I've stepped back now, but I still search for people to be around that's like-minded.
I was conflicted. I wanted at first to find a group of people who thought like I was thinking, didn't celebrate the Christmas, didn't do, which, you can find that with Jehovah. You can find that all over the place with different, factions of religion. But I really, he, Yahweh brought me up with separation. It wasn't hard for me to step out of Christianity. What was hard was getting my wife to understand what we were doing. That was the most difficult part, you know what I'm saying? But when I stepped out of it, it's like I seen the IUCI people, I seen the camps, and I knew from that jump, listening to them one time, I heard hate. I still heard, I heard the same bigotry hate that stems from the other side. So I said, no, that can't be right either. So I did. I prayed a ton for Yahweh to open my understanding to the scriptures and to strip me bare and to show me his path and what he want for me without any outside influence, because as people, we want to be led like sheep. We want a shepherd. We want somebody to point us in a direction that fits and that works right. But I just didn't want to get, I was pissed, man. I ain't gonna lie, I was upset at the finding out all the lies in Christianity and all the false and all the things. So I said, I'm just gonna step back. And me and my wife, we was just gonna start having our own Bible studies, and we're gonna read, because she had a long way to go. I woke up before she woke up, So that was the challenge.
Did you feel like it was beneficial for y'all to just to be isolated and away from the community and in order to grow? Because I feel a lot of people stagnate their growth in the word because they're searching for a community or people who are like-minded. And it's a really hard thing to do, especially when you first wake up and you become a babe in this truth and you don't want to feel isolated. You don't want to feel alone. You want to feel like, okay, where do I go next? Was that beneficial for you and your wife to grow together closer through the word?
Man, it was beyond beneficial. It was the best decision we could have ever made. And the more I studied the scriptures, the more I tried to be that hedge and that covering for her to show her what am I doing, because she want to be led. She my wife is a woman. She's a female. She, very soft and very, don't no confrontation, no anything. She's more, she wanted to be led. So it worked, because the more we read together, the more her eyes start opening up. And that brings me back to with Christmas. The first year we were stopping, she couldn't stop. Her brain was like, that's my favorite time of the year. That's when me and my mama and this and the third, we do this all the time. And I'm like, I understand. I said, but I want you to sit down and read, though. You can have your Christmas, but don't involve me. That's how it was the first year. She was struggling around putting up trees, and I'm looking at her like, yeah, you're on your own. She was struggling. And after that Christmas, it was maybe around January, February, she came into the living room after she had been reading. She went in the room and read. She come back and she said, I can't argue with him. And I kept saying, what are you talking about? She said, I can't argue with him. I said, what do you mean? She said, once you see it, you can't unsee it. And I was like, somebody, she said, that's it, babe. What you want to do with that tree? You want to throw it away? What we doing? And I said, oh, okay. I said, what'd you read? She said, I don't know. I read what you was talking about. I read Jeremiah and got the 10, and it described the Christmas tree to the T. And I said, yeah. I said, that's cause, this has been going on way before me and you was a thought, And so that isolation was great for her, more or less than me. I've always had an isolated life pretty much, and I think y'all put that in my life for a reason, and my mom died when I was early, and that's the only parent I had. And my dad was alive, but he was a drug addict out in the streets, he was non-existent. So, and then I was married before her, she died. I lost a lot of people, but Also, you know, when my mom died, my sisters, I got two blood sisters, and they turned their back on me after she died, because you know, money brings out who you is, you know. They trying to figure out what they're gonna split up, and left me in the dust as a young man. You know, I was homeless. I had to go to missions. I had to live, you know, I had to do what I had to do. But I've been separated since I was young. So I think he was grounding me in that thought pattern to, you know, you don't need nobody but me. You know, if you got me, then you know, all else doesn't matter. And he showed me the fruits of people, you know, as I was getting older. But man, when I heard the word Yahweh, I was like, wait, my ears perked up. You know, I was calling him Yahweh. You know, like I follow Run. You and Run on the people I listen to, you know, because in the scripture it teaches not to have many teachers. You know, people who influence you. But when I listened to Run for years, since, you know, 8, 9 years now, and then he spoke about you one day. I was like, okay. And I got to thinking, Larry, who? And he was, you know, football. I was like, football player. I was like, no, ain't no way. I used to watch this guy, you know, play football. But I know Yah is powerful to see what he's doing for you. You know, I see, that's where I get my strength from, is seeing that I can see when he's working, you know, and I know he's real, you know. But that isolation, it's not easy, but it's very well needed. I know that much. It's very well needed.
So let's go back into the drug addiction. When did it start? How long were you battling drug addiction, and how did you get clean?
It started, man. I be honest with you, it goes back to my dad, man. This started back when I was maybe, I say, about 16, 17 years old. You know, I wanted my dad to care about me. You see what I'm saying? Because he never was around. So the older I was getting, I was in the streets doing things I ain't had no business, you know, but I knew he did his thing. And that's how I know Satan, man. When he try to get you, he come after you, you know. So he used my dad to get me on drugs. You know, my dad was the first person to hand me some drugs, you know. And it was cocaine, you know. That's the first thing I ever, you know, everybody smoked weed at one point, but the hard part was the cocaine, you know. He introduced me to that. And from between him and my uncles, they used to say that's what a man is, you know. Just that and the third, me being young and impressionable in the streets, that's what happened. And it took me down a really dark path over time, you know. It led me to, you know, being around the wrong people, got myself hurt, got stabbed, shot, you know, doing things I shouldn't be doing. But the drugs progress, and then it turns from the cocaine to also adding pills now because of the pain from, you know, the other things. And I stayed on that path from. It really took hold of me by 2021. That's when I was really, you know, out of control with. I wasn't homeless. I was a functioning addict, you know, one of them type. I could go to work. I could pay my bill. You know, I probably lost a million places behind it, you know, getting kicked out on a regular basis. But it took to 2000, I say 14, 15, 2014 is when I knew y'all was it was something finna happen, because I was living in Atlanta at the time, and I came home, and I came to visit my sister, and he broke my truck to where I couldn't get back to Atlanta. So I was stuck, man, you know, and I didn't know what else to do. And I came across a guy who was a deacon. He was a deacon, and he could see the hurt in me, trying to figure, and he, you know, asked me some questions. He told me about a place that was in Greenwood called Faith Home. He said he went to that place. And he was like, you know, it'll help you to clean you up. You go down there for a couple of months, and it's Christian based, and this, that, and the third. And I was like, okay, you know, I'm thinking, what I got to lose? Look at me, you know, I'm far from home and don't have nowhere to go. So I took that, I prayed about it, and I made the choice and went to that place. And granted, I being out of city of Atlanta, and I went to a country backwood place. I was out of place. I didn't know what was going on. I thought I was gonna get lynched, hung. I didn't know what was going on where I was at. But to turn around, it was a blessing for me. You know, I got sober. It took me a few times though. I didn't do it the first time, you know. We hard-headed, we stiff-necked. So I had to fall a few more times to get to find my way. But when I did, that was in 2017. 2017 is when I feel him tugging me, and he gave me a vision that if I didn't stop what I was doing and clean my life up, that he was going to turn me into a reprobate. I seen it coming. And it was three people who I didn't talk to on a regular basis. They all three called me within a week span, saying the same exact thing. They all kept saying, if you don't tighten up and you don't stop this life, it might be it for you. And they didn't say, you know, God, y'all gonna turn his back on me. They just kept saying this, you might not get another chance. But then that vision he gave me, he's, if I don't join and make this decision today to do what I need to do, far as finding him, following him, and getting a rich life, not with money, but just with him, he was gonna give me a reprobate. And that scared me more than anything, and that's what got me straight in 2017. That was the last time I touched anything. That was the last time all the curse words went out my mouth. Everything just started disappearing, and that's when that walk started. I didn't know what the truth was at that moment, but I knew awakening was happening. And it was a hard, but I enjoyed the fact of the thrashing he had to put on me. He correct me for a long time. You know, even with my wife, I had infidelity with her. I did a lot of things that was, you know, what we do when we in the world, you know. But I know.
So what did you, what was the reason or the cause when you started to look for drugs? Was it, I was depressed, I'm stressed, I'm trying to escape? What brought it on? Or were you just a party guy? Like, you know, you out, like, just like people are social drinkers, like some people are just social drug addicts. What, like,
Yeah,
what was your, what was your thing?
it wasn't a social thing. I didn't too much care to be around people. It was a more of a self-destruction. It was more of, you know, drowned out what's really going on in my life. You know, impair the brain, you ain't thinking about which it come back 20 times worse, you know. But I was trying to drown out things in my life. You know, it was so long, I was wish I was dead, but I'm glad y'all didn't take me up on it, you know, because I know where I'd be at if you did. But you know, it was a self-medication thing, you know, because I had a lot of trauma things that I knew that was in it wasn't efficient in my life, but I was learning, trying to learn how to let it go. But the drugs is what masked it for me. It gave me, you know what I'm saying, a heart of, you know, heart of chest of stone. And I didn't care about what nobody said, did, or anything, long as I was in my element. You know, if I was in my element, you know, it didn't matter to me, you know. But it was more of a masking of trying to, I ain't gonna say, I don't know if it was depression, but I think it was just a self-destruction mechanism to drown out what reality was for me at the time.
Was you still addicted to drugs when you were married, or in your first marriage, and to your second marriage, or
Oh, yeah. With the first marriage, that was pretty much what it was. It wasn't me and her wasn't about that, but that's what it was about. And then my daughter was born, and that kind of started making me lighten up on certain things. But yeah, when I went into my second marriage, I had just started getting clean, you know, and I was just getting myself my. That's why I give my wife all kudos. She's a real trooper. I know that's who y'all had for me, because she has bettered me in so many ways. You know, she knows her place in the scriptures. She knows her place in the marriage, and she has built me up as a man to say, hey, I can't lead. So either you don't lead. And then she has nourished me to that place of knowing that, you know, she done dealt with some stuff. She has, she's dealt with some stuff, but you know, I know it was Yah willing that, you know, he put her there for that reason, because she's never turned her back on me.
And you feel like if she wasn't that type of woman, and she was just a woman that threw you out in the street or tore you down every time you were trying to get high or search for drugs, and she would have, you know, played you against your children and all that, you feel like you wouldn't even survive if you had that particular type of woman, that the Most High
Yeah.
made sure that you had a woman that'll nourish your leadership.
Exactly. I mean, I was always told as a young person, even my mom, she used to tell me things, you know, when you find your wife, you know, she needs to have some characteristics of me, you know, that nourishment, that love, that unconditional, you know, that you know you're gonna make mistakes, but I ain't gonna never stop loving you. I'm always try to do what's best for you. But now if you don't want it, I ain't gonna help you, you know. So she was always that person, like, you know, when I had nothing else and nobody else, she was always there for me, even when she shouldn't have been. You know what I'm saying? And by me saying that, you know, people make mistakes, but if it's really a mistake, will it happen again? You know, you see what I'm saying? You know, if you really care about that person, just the same way with Yahweh, you know, If you love him, why are you gonna keep living in the same sins that's separating you from him, you know? So he gave me the right one. I can tell you that. She done put up with me.
Was the drugs and the infidelity linked together? Because usually you can't have one without the other. No one in their right mind just do drugs and that's all they do. Like if you're in a relationship, your mind in that state is going into infidelity.
Exactly. And that's exactly what happened. I mean, it wasn't, I never even cared. My wife to me is beautiful. She's the perfect female for me in my mind. But the drug play and the other outside, I say them demons that was latched on me, that generation of curses for real. You know, my dad, my uncles, I can go on down the line, you know. So yeah, the females never, it didn't matter. They was getting me what I wanted. You see what I'm saying? It wasn't even about me having a relationship with them. It was more like they would do what I tell them to do, you know. And but my wife didn't play that. You see what I'm saying? She didn't play that. But yeah, but that was my goal of chasing and yearning for Yahuwah, is to break that curse, because I got sons, you know. I got daughters, and man, I pray regularly that I can change that curse and what I've done to others, that he don't put it on my daughters, you know. He don't, you know, especially with my son, you know. He's went through the same stuff I have, my oldest boy. But today he is living right, you know. And I think, and then sometimes I know it's because Yahuwah know what I'm yearning for. I'm trying to break that curse within my family bloodline. And when I look at my oldest boy, I can see it working. Not saying he following the truth like me. He can be, you know, he can be touched. He's into Christianity, but he do listen to me. He do call me and want advice on, you know, scriptures and certain things. You know, I just he's got a female who he's more of a, I listen to her over, you know, what the scriptures say. You know what I'm saying? But you know, he used to be a drug addict, and you know, he's come a long way. You know, he's not doing these things anymore. But I think it's from the time he was staying with me and my wife when he was going through that. You know, I helped him out with the same place I went to, and you know, all I did was try to pour into him. You know, even though he had his downfalls. But today, I look back 5 years ago now, man, I'm proud of him. You know, regardless, you know, if I hate that he just can't find the truth right now, you know, which it ain't meant for me to give it to him. It's up to Yahweh.
Was that really frustrating for you as a father? But at the same time, you had to have some certain type of compassion because it was from you, your bloodline that was passed down to you why he went through this. How was y'all's relationship when you were going through that addiction with him?
It's our relationship always been good. He's always loved me. But see, when it goes back to a point to when his mom died, say when I was married to his mom, and when she died, that's when it got bad for him. You know, she took herself out, you know. So
Oh, man.
yeah, but I got two daughters. Well, I got another daughter when I adopted another child that she had, you know. And that's when it got bad for him. But our relationship was estranged for a while because I was still in the streets. I was living in Atlanta. I was other places, even when she died, and they stayed with grandma, with her mother. And so the grandma them kind of pushed me out the picture, you know. So our relationship wasn't so contactual at first until he got about 15, you know, 16. I started, you know, trying to, she couldn't, they couldn't keep me away from him. And me and him grew a strong bond. And him and my wife, them two are like two peas in the pod today, you know. But it was hard to see that.
How was the relationship with your father?
Man, I loved him and respect him because he was my father, but it was horrible, you know. I tried, but you know, he ended up passing away, you know. Yeah, he ended up with cancer, and but it come from all the drug use and all the stuff. But you know, I wanted us to have some kind of amend before he passed, but it just, you know, the sad part is before when he got sick. Before that, you know, me and him fell out quite a many times, and I cut him off. I just he was too toxic for what I was trying to do. I'm trying to walk this walk. I'm trying to do what's right, and I understand sometimes you got to cut out the loose ends that's not healthy for what you're trying to do. And So when I did, and I didn't talk to him for maybe a year or two, because I was in my bag, I was in the scriptures. That's all I knew, trying to get my household together, And I got a call. He was in the hospital, and it hit him fast. I knew he was sick, but he just didn't tell nobody. But I went to go see him at the hospital, and he was in a, I want to say like a comatose state. He could hear me, but he couldn't respond. He couldn't do nothing. And that was my opportunity to tell him, about Yahweh. That was my last conversation with him, was talking about Yahweh and telling, letting him know that, despite all our past and what we had, your son gonna be all right. I can't say what's good, what you heading to, but I just know that, rest assured, I'm not mad at you. I don't hate you. I forgive you. I told him all that. I made peace with him at that moment. He smiled. That was the last thing I remember. Even though he couldn't speak or nothing, he smiled at me and they let me know. And y'all was letting me know that's okay. You've done what you needed to do. But yeah, we didn't have a relationship.
So how did Yah strengthen you as a husband? Because you had to fight through a lot. Talk about that process of the Most High bringing you into an honorable covering.
Well, he had to chastise me pretty good, He had to, but I had to do my part too, I had to plea and beg for the understanding of how to be a father, how to be a husband. Because the one part that he built me the most was when he was correcting me and all my woes from lust, fornication, porn, all these things that was clouding my life, man. He didn't just take it from me. I had to want to get rid of it, And the more I prayed, the more I fasted, the more I did what I should be doing, that's those things that start lifting. I start realizing I don't look at things life the same no more. And I did have another child. Well, not with my wife. I was with me before I met my wife, recent wife. And I had a little girl with this lady. And she was an alcoholic real bad. And 6 years ago, Yahweh, he had been he straightened up my path and straightened me out. And I did not see it coming, but he had a plan for that little girl, because I found out that her mom was abusing her real bad. She kept her away from me for a while, but she was maybe about 4 or 5 years old, and I got a call about her mom abusing her, and they was like, "We're gonna have to bring you your daughter." And I was like, I'm looking at y'all like, "Wait a minute, whoa, whoa, whoa!" You have beat me to a pulp to get out of this addiction, for one, for to not, lust after women, money, drug, anything. You start lifting all the stuff off of me, and it made sense, because I think he seen that I was ready for something big, major. And so the trials of the correction period was, when I say rough, it was, for me, it was rough, because my mind, I've never had no upbringing or teaching about how to be a husband. The only way I know how is through the scriptures. That's the only way I know how. So it made it not so hard, because it was easy for me to get into the scriptures and say, "Is this what y'all say I'm supposed to be doing? This is what I need to be doing." If I need to be a covering for my wife, she has to come before my children. It has to be in order for me to know and to walk in that order. But he ended up giving me my daughter, 6 years ago, and I've watched her grow up. And she's been growing up under the covering of Yah, and that, for me, that right now, that's the ultimate blessing for me, to be able to do that today. And he had to break me off to get me where I needed to be, to be able to raise that little girl in the right manner, be a parent, be in the front and center, and like I said, giving my wife what she do, them two. I mean, my wife accepted all this, and she called her daughter today, and I think it's awesome. But the thrashing that y'all had to give me, especially with my wife, it how women do. They, if you get in a disagreement, the past will come back. The past will be remembered. You know what I'm saying? It could be 5 years later. It's don't it can come up. But she went through a hard, that was, I think, my biggest, that was the hardest thing for me to have to deal with, looking at her every day. And then if we had a disagreement, it will come to a point she'll remind me what I did.
Right.
she got she pulling the old bandages off, and that was some years ago. But today I told her she didn't really forgive me. If you forgive somebody, you gotta let it. If I'm not doing them actions, you got to move on. And she learned through scriptures how to do that. Because she told me when she did actually forgive me, and that was, I say, about 6 years ago, 6, 7 years ago, she told me, she said, I don't think I did forgive you, because I would get mad and think about what happened and bring it back up on you. And I'm like, yeah, I said, but that's not true forgiveness, you know. Now, I don't want you to forget what happened. No, you don't supposed to forget it. But she did move on to yeah, she would beat me that day in and day out, you know, reminding me of what I was, you know. And like I say, in
You had
Corinthians,
to
like,
hold your tongue. You had to hold your
oh,
tongue in
what
a
the
lot of the
world, a
arguments.
million, oh my goodness. You know, I had to bow out gracefully. I mean, bow out gracefully. I had no room to even open my mouth to say nothing back, because it was me who created that, you know. It wasn't her fault, you know. She was just like an innocent bystander in a drive-by, you know, and that's how I looked at it. You know, she caught strays that she shouldn't have had to catch. But I'm thankful for Yah by being in this truth, man. He has really centered our family, centered us. You know, we like to, the way we operate, it's like it's us against nothing, you know, nothing else but ourselves. We are our biggest adversaries, you know. It ain't about what's going on outside these doors. It's ourselves. It's who you talking to in that mirror when you're looking in that mirror. That's who can take me out faster than anybody else, you know. So, but it's been a beautiful ride, you know. For the past, I think right now we've been stomping strong for the last 8, 9 years, you know. Strong, you know, really adhering to the scriptures. I finally, man, I want to thank you for the your altar. When I seen your altar, because I had bricks.
Yeah, right. You start off with brick because you don't know. Like you have to be led to the right scriptures.
I had the bricks. My wife, I got my shofar. We out there. I'm trying, you know, I'm trying my best. But I finally got the good stuff, man.
Good,
You
good,
know,
good. Where'd you get it
yeah.
from?
I got them off. It was you know, how through Home Lowe's.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and so I made sure when I talked to them that these natural, they natural. And they was like, yeah, I said, these ain't made somewhere and created. Was they natural? It's like, yeah, we get them out. They got them out this quarry somewhere, and they look good. And I said, man, you know, my blessing is coming up with able to do. Like my job, I hate my job, man. I have to do it because I got a family, but it separates me. And I'm glad in one of your shows you did speak on that. You kept saying, you know, it's okay if you got to be at work during these times, because y'all understands that, you know. Because I would beat myself up with that, man. I would go through the heart like, I need to be here. I need to be at home. I need to have my leg of lambs on the thing. I need to be doing these things. But at the same time, he has given me time, you know. Like, I know the calendar finna change, and I thank you for that too. Goodness, boy. You took me down a rabbit hole with the calendar. And I'm telling you, I ain't saying it ain't about who's right and wrong, but I know one thing, you dead on. You dead on, and that's what I'm following now. So, you know, I know that the Shabbat's finna change to the day, and it's changing to a day I got, you know. So I'm happy. It's finna go to a Friday.
Nice.
It's finna go to a Friday, and I'm like, okay, let me get prepared so these Shabbats I can do them as I need to, and do it for the hedge of my household. You know, my little daughter, she get happy. She's like, what, you gonna pull out that little weird horn? I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna pull it out. And you know, you're gonna blow it one day soon too. But it's a beautiful ride, man. I promise that.
Has your children felt the ruach from doing the feast days or just the overall leadership from you? Have they felt it individually?
Well, my daughter who's with me now, she does. I see it in her every day. But my oldest, they're grown. You know, they're grown and married, man. You know what I'm saying? They got kids. I'm a 10-time
Oh, okay. Wow. Okay.
granddad.
Jeez.
You know, yeah, I'm a 10-time granddad, and it's a blessing to be able to see that. You know, I started early. You know how we was when we were young, doing the run. But you know, I did marry the woman who I was creating with at the time. But I got 10 grandkids. But my daughter right now, my 13-year-old, I've watched her come out of trauma, and the abuse that was done to her by her mom, and to now she wouldn't talk, she wouldn't speak. She had so many trauma problems. And the more we read and the more we study and the more she starts to understand, she has come out of that shell in a big way. It don't even seem like it's been 6 years, but it has been. And today she's grown a lot, and I can see Yah touching her. I can see that she knows she's in a good home. And like I told her, it's my job as you are adolescents, you're gonna adhere to what I'm doing here. When you get grown, you can make all the choices you want, but I pray that these choices, what we're showing you today, you'll carry that with you, and you'll realize that you're gonna make mistakes. I know she is, that's we all gonna do something to make mistakes, but I think she's very impressionable from her dad. She's a daddy's girl, and it's a beautiful sight to watch her.
Do you feel like that also attributed to you being clean is having daddy's girls?
Yes.
Because usually that happens, bro.
Yes.
It's like you can't escape it, man. It's like I gotta
Yes.
act right for real, for real.
Well, what the world, man. And that's the same thing. My wife, she had mentioned it to me a while, maybe about a week or so ago. She said, "Do you not know that what you're showing your daughter is you showing her what a man is?" And I'm like, "All right." And I tell her that, I know she's gonna have a boyfriend, but man, you have no idea. Him bringing her into my life at that time, I knew he was putting a stamp on me. It's either you act right or I'll turn your house over completely, and it won't just affect you. It's gonna affect everything around you that you love and care about. And she my little girl love reading. She loves saying Yahweh. She loves saying Yahusha. I make her read some scriptures when she get home from school. She read, and I want her to write me out a little paragraphs or two and tell me what she got out of it. And then we discuss it. We have discussion about it. Of course, we do truth unedited just by every night. We the family, we sit down and we watch and we learn, and when then we discuss it, or we read and then we discuss it. So she's getting it full throttle around me, she don't have a choice right now, but I think she enjoys it. I think she's it's something that she was never told before, just like myself. And today, for the last 6 years, she's been eating. I wanted to be an upstanding woman,
Good, good. How do you feel with that dynamic with your daughter and then dealing with your son still in Christianity? Are y'all bumping heads, or are you just gonna allow him or allow him to kind of come into it on his own?
We don't. I say we do bump heads sometime. We do bump heads because, as I'm one of them type, I told you so. And I'm like, it's gonna come a day, and I'm like, I told you so. But at the same time, he pride and ego is a huge monster on most people. We bump heads at times, but at the same time, he's like, Dad, I get what you're saying, but his number one saying ain't no proof of what you're saying. And I'm like, so I've sent him scriptures, and what really where we bump heads when I send him the scriptures of the Apocrypha, because Christianity teach you that stuff don't exist. That's not real books. They're not scriptural based books. And I'm like, I wish he would hear me, but I have to let him find it on his own. I have to me, what Yah showed me, he said, you be the example. You just keep leading with doing what you're doing. And if he's meant for me, I'll get him. You know what I'm saying? He's like, I'll get him if he, but I used to try to, I'm very forceful. I'm a forceful person by nature. I'm a bucker by nature. You tell me, I can't, okay, I'll show you. That's my type of thing. But he told me to keep that same tenacity, but do it for me. Stand for me like that, because in the scripture it says, "Who will stand for me? Who will?" And I'm like, I will. My wife had to. She had a hard time with me about that. She used to get aggravated because I was so voiceful about it. She's like, "Them people, they Christian. They don't get it. You can do it a different way." And this, and I was like, "No,
It ain't gonna be no different
no."
way. This
Yeah,
way.
it ain't no coddling or pacifying. No, I said, this is just the way I'm cut, and I don't mean no harm. I'm not a ass about it. I'm not, I'm just, this is what it say, and this is what I roll with, and I'm not easily swayed because the drugs didn't, that had me by whole. Now he got me by whole.
Right. It's such a different animal, man. Different breed that when you cut from a different cloth, especially when
Oh,
you
yeah.
hear the word, when Yah deals with you, he don't coddle you, especially when it
No.
comes to us men. It'd be like,
No.
this is what the word says. He ain't sweet talk me into anything. He made me look at it and had me question myself. And then once
Self.
you feel that shame from him, after a while you get over it because you don't care what man says
Man
or woman
says.
says. So when you reflect that type of, I guess, that energy from him, you want to tell people exactly how you've been told. So
That's right.
it's not like I'm a baby you, hold your hand, you're gonna walk you down the street and show you where the scripture, like, no,
Christmas.
it's like this is what it says, and ain't no ifs, ands, or buts about it, because that's how he was with me.
Exactly. That's exactly what I try to tell people. Don't listen to what I'm telling you. Go pick your book up.
Right.
You can listen. I can tell you anything. I say, that's one thing, but I'm telling you something. I'm pointing you to where it's at. You go read it. Don't listen to what I got to tell you. I said, and if you read it and you don't get it, keep reading until you do,
Right. Because it ain't gonna
It
change. It ain't gonna
ain't gonna
change.
change. No, it ain't gonna change. It keep reading it. If it's meant for you, it'll click. But that's the beautiful thing. Like in Ezekiel, what I was reading, it's for his select people. And my wife, she has come to the understanding of that very clearly. It's not meant for everybody, man.
Right.
Man, when he says, let the multitude perish, I said, okay, I get what you're saying now. It's not meant for everybody. He made the world for many, but only a few gonna inherit it.
You a few, right?
And I'm like,
Right.
okay, I understand what you're saying. So trying to beat it to somebody, that ain't the process, because didn't nobody beat it to me. He choked me out. He choked me out to get this understanding, and because I wanted it, he said, you won't seek me, get ready for this punishment.
Right.
You don't seek
He
me,
had us like Ving Rhames and Baby Boy.
baby boy. Choking me to death, like, hold up, man. All I want to do is be saved. I want to come with you into the kingdom. But I was glad to take those lashings because of what I done to myself throughout life. I had no brakes on living wrong. It's full throttle, let's go. But I'm just thankful for now, today, in this day and present time, that he has given me a clear mind and a clear path to see where I belong, who I am, who I belong to. All that stuff makes a huge difference. Especially when I understood that we are the children. Man, my whole world flipped upside down because, all the lies, and I got so mad about that process, not at the people. Like I said, I'm not mad at Christians. I'm not against a human being. I'm against a doctrine. I'm against everything that what they the lies that spewed out from them constantly. And I know it's Satan behind the whole thing, but at the same time, I'm like, man, wake up. Like, do y'all not see what's really going on? It's in the book. Read it. It's not a surprise anymore, but I'm just thankful to be part of the fold. I'm thankful that before the earth was formed, I was chosen. And he knew the exact day and time when it was gonna happen. I had no idea, but I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that he loved me enough to say, all right, all the crap you did, you turn to me and do it right and put it down, and I'll take you through that door, and we can walk. Because Yahusha, let me tell you, my goal is to emulate best I can with him. Love my neighbor, love, even though people, trust me, dude, I walking in the truth. Oh man, I done got some enemies for no reason. For no reason. I mainly be on Facebook because that's where a lot of people I know. I want them to see what y'all is doing for me. And I've gotten people to kind of call, hey man, what you got? What you reading, man? What book I need to get? And I'm like, yeah, go get the Sefer. Matter of fact, you can download it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it can be on your phone, start reading, And like Brother Run, man, he I watched. It's amazing to see where he started at today and see where he is now. I remember the Yahweh. I remember him talking about Yahweh. And Yeshua, and that's how when you're in the truth, because you don't stagnate, you grow, you continually grow. It's a when in Christianity, I it's a ceiling been hit. I ain't even it wasn't nothing changing. It was just go to church, have a good time, go get high later, you know, you know, and because I came to church, I'm good to go, you know. It was no force, no nothing tangible to grab a hold to in Christianity.
What would you say is your best Bible verse? Like that verse that really gets you every time you cross it.
Every time I had to go, mine is it's always gonna be Matthew, and Matthew said, you know, the narrow path, man. That was the verse that woke me up. And he said, you know, the few shall find it and difficult the way. And my mind kept thinking, he said, in the broad way, many are their own, you know, and it leads to destruction. And that made me step back and look at everything from a different perspective. I kept thinking, what is the broad way? What are we talking about? I started looking at religion, man. That's the first thing that crossed across my mind. And that's those verse, my daughter could tell you, they're my favorite verses. That's what woke me up to understanding the path is narrow, it is difficult. And am I ready for this difficult? I don't even know what the difficult part is yet. But though that verse, and I ain't gonna lie, Baruch, that's my other fan. Yeah, and Baruch, you know, when he, especially when he's dealing with, I think it's in Jubilees. Yes, in Jubilees 10, where he's talking to Miss Thema, you know, the how he gave the 10th to him. All that stuff woke me up the most when I started reading, when he was dealing with Miss Thema, you know, in Baruch 10. And I got so many, man. I can go on for days. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is always gonna be my favorite. You know, trusting in him, you know, he get lead my path, you know, and trusting him with all my ways. It was hard for me to do, to trust in, you know, it ain't like we can sit there and give Yahweh a high five, you know, and hug him. So those verses are what stuck. I got them tattooed on me because they meant the world to me. And those in between Matthew 7, yeah, and Matthew 10, so many verses, man, that I just love, that really woke me up and sticks with me to every day my walk, that I have to pray to and ask him for that understanding to keep walking and growing, and you know, revealing scripture to me that I didn't understand. It's so much I still don't, you know, I hadn't grasped yet, you know, but I pray for that understanding to be awakened, because he's done all this other. I know he can do this too, but it'll be in his timing, not mine.
So, how do you prepare your family, your wife, for an economic crisis, all-out war, a civil war? Are you concerned? Are you worried? Are you stocking up food, resources? What is your game plan for that?
Hey, you want to know the truth? I'm excited. I mean, that's the honest God truth. I'm excited, bro. Now,
Man,
don't get
this is
me
what I
wrong.
wish we were neighbors then. This is what I wish we were neighbors. So
Well,
I could walk
yeah.
outside, look at you, and just start laughing when it
I'm excited. Yeah, I'm like you. I'm ready to get the popcorn and watch it jump. That's all. I'm excited
happens.
because I know where I'm gonna be standing at, you know. But at the same time, we do. I haven't. I'm not a prepper, none of that stuff. But I do have us a couple of things too, you know, for water sources and certain things, like, you know, far as tangible foods to eat. If there's grocery, everything shut down, and we gotta, because I'm locking in. I'm staying in the house. You know, I'm not gonna roam out there trying to deal, you know, with the demons, that whatever's out there in the streets. It ain't got no part of me, and I know he gonna sustain me. So I don't look into what I need. He's gonna be my provider and my source. So, you know, he also gave me a brain to say, all right, you know, you do got your wife, and I'm worried about my wife, because she gets, you know, nervous and scary about certain things. And you know, I'm trying to make sure that she understand that we're grounded in Yah. You know, it ain't nothing to be worried about, and she has come a long way with that. But I do got a couple of water, you know, make sure we got water, make sure we got you know, a lot of people are talking about guns and ammo. I mean, I do have some, but it's not like I'm loaded like a military. I don't need that. You know, I have what I have in my home for protect my home, you know, and that's pretty much it. But you know, I don't got a lot of stored up food. I got things what I need though, you know, far as I got the scriptures. You know
That's all you, that's all the
what I'm
ammo you
saying?
need. That's
Yeah, I
unlimited
got the
ammo.
scriptures, you know, and the ammo ain't gonna make a difference. I mean, I have those things because I like to shoot for, I do go shooting sometimes to release stress, you know, just to go out and have a little target shooting, and you know, hang out. Well, I got a brother of mine who I'm trying to wheel him in. I'm working on him, but we go shooting. That's my time. I can sit down with him and we talk, and we may do a little target shooting, but I also get scripture with him, and hoping that he continue. He's calling them y'all now, so you know what I'm saying. That's a huge plus for me. But yeah, I don't. I'm not. I'm ready. I'm wanting it to happen. I'm ready for what's going on. Oh man, that's like music to my ears. I know the time ain't far off, I'm just ready to go home.
So we come to the end of the show where I give the guest their last words. What could you say to young brothers who are still struggling with either with weed addiction, drug addiction, lust? What could you say to these brothers to ensure them that there is light at the end of the tunnel?
But don't think, well, my main thing is it's always a daily reprieve, one day at a time. You have to deal with and face what you're dealing with first, and then two, one of the biggest things, you have to learn to forgive yourself. You can't walk through life, expecting forgiveness from people. You got to do it for yourself and focus on what tangible gains is that for you in your life. What are you gaining for doing these things? Because if you don't realize that Satan is after, especially our people, at all turns, every turn, the drugs and the alcohol, the lust and all that thing, man, that's a farewell flyby. You feel good for a moment, and next you don't. Because what happens when you that lust get you with the with a disease you can't get rid of, and that's your last time. That's your you can be the man on the block today, tomorrow, you're in a casket. And that's it's just important to not to focus on your problems, but focus on Yahuwah. Get on, hit your knees and talk to Yahuwah. He is there, because I'm living proof. I mean, I promise, I was out there. I've been in the bat cave, you know what I'm saying? And he pulled me out, not because I was special, it's because I belong to him. But at the same time, like you said, if you turn away from your sins and put down all your iniquities and turn to him in truth and spirit, and follow him and chase after that ruach, and have that ruach from the ruach binyah to the ruach chokmah, and you ask for these things, and he'll provide that for you. He can take the mind, and it's a the mind is the most powerful thing on this earth, and it is. It's that's where the battles and the trouble start, is you think it first before you do it. So if you're gonna be out, if I tell a young, if you're gonna be out there doing what you're doing, think about what you're doing first, and try to play. We always were told, play out the movie before you start. Play the movie out. You know what I'm saying? And see, if you think the end credit is gonna be great, then go and do what you gotta do. If you see jail, death, other things that comes along with that, then you need to get out of that production.
I thank you, my brother. I knew this was going to be a great show because we conversed on email in such a rapid response. I was like, oh, I gotta have this brother on. I know it's going to be fire. I'm so blessed to have you on here sharing your story, because this was literally the first story I ever heard of someone battling drug addiction, infidelity, death. That is a lot of trauma in such a young life and young age, and then overcoming that with the Most High Yahuwah, which speaks volumes of his righteousness, his uprightness, and also because of his mercy. He could have destroyed all of us and gave us over to a reprobate mind when we stumbled not once, twice, three times, but seven, eight other times. And he knew,
That's
like
fine.
he said, he knew our plan. He knew us from the womb. He knew we eventually would come back to him and follow his ordinances. So I appreciate your story, my brother.
Yes, sir. Yeah, he gave he kept me here for 47 years. I ain't gonna complain. I ain't gonna complain, man. But I appreciate you, Larry, and everything that you're doing, man. Just keep it going, because what you don't see is people out here who really need to hear your show, need to hear what you got to say. And I'm one of them, and I appreciate it. Every Thursday, every Sunday, I'm locked in every time. I'm waiting on the notification.
I appreciate you, my brother.
All right, brother.
All
You
right,
have a good one.
see you
Shalom.
too.